It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad this morning. Our guest is my spirit dad, Pastor Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing this morning, Pops?
Well, let's pray. No. I'm doing great. I'm blessed and still here, so I'm doing great.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways now. You can send it by email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. I think I covered it all. Would you pray to start us out, sir?
I will. I think Monica wound up today.
I'm ready to roll.
All this equipment, y'all didn't see this, but we had the equipment issues, you know, before, while we're a couple minutes late getting going. But we know that God has ordained this time, and it's good, and we're going to pray and believe God for wonderful things. So be sure and get your prayer requests in to us. We'd love to hear your praise reports, too. And so get that to us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord God, we just surrender ourselves to you now. We believe that, Lord, this ministry was birthed by your will and your plan and your desire all those years ago, and it has transformed and changed. And Lord God, that your hand is still upon this ministry, Father. We thank you for lives being changed. We thank you that day in and day out, men and women of God are able to come into here and share what you put on our hearts. And, Father, that we as the people of God are able to tune in, receive that word, share that word with someone else. I pray your blessing upon the program today. I pray your peace and grace be upon each one of us, and that we'd have ears to hear and hearts to receive everything you want. So we entrust this time to you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title.
The title.
Spiritual Withdrawal.
Withdrawal. Now, that you could take that a couple ways. You could take it like, you know, if you miss church or if you forget to read your Bible. I don't know how that could possibly happen, but if you don't read your Bible, you might go through withdrawals. You might get the shakes and become weak. But actually, when I gave it that title, I was thinking more along the lines of this. You know, if Neva gives me her checkbook, I'm going to go make some withdrawals. I'm talking about something that's been deposited that we can draw on, withdrawing from the things that God has blessed us with. We're going to build a good foundation before we really get to the part about the deposit and withdrawal part, but let's open your Bible to Luke chapter 9. You're going to want to put your eyes on this. I'm going to be reading from both NIV and Passion Translation and quoting from the Amplified and this and that this morning, so you might even want to use your YouVersion phone app, and if you don't have that, you need it. It's a little brown Bible with a gold cross on it. It's free. It's from Life Church. It's a YouVersion app, Apple or Android or whatever you got. It's available. It's free. It's wonderful to use, and you need it. Amen. Luke chapter 9, Luke 9, if you would turn there. We're going to begin reading in the first verse. We're going to read quite a bit, but we're going to take it nice and slow. We got a whole hour. That's almost as long as I preach on Sunday, isn't it, Monica? I don't really preach an hour on Sunday most of the time. Luke 9, verse 1. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. Actually, I'm going to read it from the NIV first. When Jesus had called the 12 together, that's the 12 apostles, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He sent them out to do it. The Passion Translation says it this way there in verse 1, and we're going to wind up reading, as long as I stay on course, we're going to read verse 1 through 17 before we're all done. So if you're taking notes, you might write Luke 9, 1 through 17. In the Passion Translation, verse 1 reads this way, Jesus summoned together his 12 apostles, and he imparted to them authority. The NIV says he gave them power. He imparted to them authority over every demon and power to heal every disease. Jesus gave that to who? To the 12. Let me ask you a question. Was one of those people going to later betray Jesus? Yes. Did those 12 apostles ever demonstrate human weakness and frailty and fear and confusion? And did they ever argue among themselves about who was the greatest or this, that, or try to take matters into their own hands? I was like, yes, 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 yes. So here's what my point. Are these apostles like, they're the super, super spiritual? It's like, no, not really. They're just called. That's what they are. They're called. They were called by Jesus. They were chosen by Jesus, called to him, and they're just regular people. They're fishermen, tax collector, this, that, the other. They're not the super, super spiritual. Their father's not the Heavenly Father who impregnated the Virgin Mary. I mean, they're just born to normal parents, grew up in a normal household. They're normal, normal, normal. Some of them, I wonder if they're even normal. But I like that. I thank God for that. I thank God that he didn't choose a bunch of altogether pretties, you know, so that they didn't look like they had any faults or flaws whatsoever, and we'd all look up to them and make statues of them and pray to it. Oh, wait, some people do that. Moving along. Jesus gave power to these 12 frail human beings that he had called to himself. And he imparted his authority. He imparted it. Here, let me give this to you. You know, here's my checkbook. Here's my Visa card. Here's my power. Here's something with which you can do something that you couldn't do if you didn't have it. He imparted that power to them. And let's see what they did with it. He told them to go out and preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And he told them this in verse 3, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra clothes. I don't think Joe would be able to go on that trip, Neva. I just pick on him a little bit. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people don't come welcome you, shake off the dust of your feet and leave it as a testimony against them. Verse 6, so they set off, and they went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere they went. Let me read this from the Passion Translation to you there. The 6th verse. The apostles departed and went into the villages and with the wonderful news of God's kingdom realm, and they instantly healed diseases wherever they went. Who did that? Judas Iscariot, for one. I just thought I'd mention him first because that's the one that I have the hardest time. I have a hard time, I'm going to be honest, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around Judas Iscariot, the one who's going to wind up betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and then going out and hanging himself out of regret because Satan was done using him. Because that's what Satan will do to you. If you give in to him, he'll use you up and wear you out and then throw you away. He's a murderer. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around Judas Iscariot. I don't know who he got partnered up with. Jesus sent him out two by two. But Judas and, I don't know, let's just say Thaddeus, because I don't know much about him. So Judas and Thaddeus, and they're out. And they're going, and they go into town and they say, hey, good news, the kingdom of God is among you. The Christ, the Messiah has come. God has sent our Messiah. And they're like, prove it. And they say, you know, here comes someone with leprosy. And boom, and they just exactly like Jesus. They say, be clean, and the leper's made clean. This blind man comes to them, and they lay their hands on the blind man, and And he's and his sight is restored. And someone might listen to him and say, you're talking about Judas Iscariot healing the sick? Yes, because I can read. Yeah, I know it doesn't set well in our, you know, we think, well, oh, you got to be super spiritual and you're this and that and whatever. But remember this, they're operating not by something that they worked up or by something they earned by their own merit. They're operating in a power that was imparted to them, given to them. Now, it's not given to them to use and exploit any way they want to. But it, as long as they're under the authority of Jesus, doing what he sent them to do, they have his authority to operate in. That's a big key principle. Remember the centurion that comes and he goes to Jesus? He said, if you would just speak the word, my servant would be healed. And Jesus had said, I'll come and go with you. He goes, no, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home, you know, discrediting yourself, making yourself unclean in all the Jews' eyes. Just speak the word. He said, for I am a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. And man, it says Jesus was amazed at this man's faith, the centurion's faith, and he said, I have not found this kind of faith or great faith like this in all of Israel. In other words, all of God's covenant people, listen to this carefully, all God's covenant people don't even know what they really got. You know, I think that went right by you. All the Jesus was saying that all the covenant people of Israel, they don't understand what this man understands. This man understands that the kingdom of God operates by authority. And if Jesus imparts to you authority, then you can do the things that Jesus did. John 14:12, if you'd like to look at that later, you can. It's Jesus says this, he says, whosoever believes in me, the works I do, they shall do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. Well, what's going to happen when he gets to the Father? He's going to pour out his blood on the mercy seat, receive for us eternal redemption. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that empowered him to do the do's and to bring the good news, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, all that stuff, calming the storms, multiplying the loaves and fishes. Everything Jesus did, John 14:12, you do the same works and greater. It's, well, I don't get that. It's imparted authority. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about we earned it. It's about Jesus commissions us as the church on the earth. We're the salt and the light. In other words, we're the preservative, the flavor, that's salt, and we're the revelation. If the world can't see Jesus through the church, the world can't see Jesus. But the church without authority and without power, without anointing, is not really the church. It's just a religious facade. Someone was talking to me the other day, and this person is a person who they kind of pick and choose what they want to believe out of the Bible. They're very, very deceived about certain parts of their life, and they've chosen a lifestyle that's God's word is pretty clear about that it's not good. But the way they justify that lifestyle, they say, well, the Bible, you know, is part of it. It's just written by men. It's written by men. What about this part? Well, I believe that part. I'm like, well, you can't pick and choose. We can't have authority operate any part of what Jesus said. We've got to be people say, you know what? If the word of God says it, even if I have a hard time lining up with it, I still need to get me lined up with it. I don't need to try to line it up with me. Come on. So Jesus imparted to these 12 apostles the authority and the power to go out and preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And I'm just taking us on an imaginary trip. I got Judas Iscariot and Thaddeus. I got Bartholomew and Simon, the zealot. I got, you know, these are guys we don't hear much about, you know. But, you know, of course, yes, you got James and John and Peter and Andrew. Yes, of course, you got those guys. But I'm going to tell you something about them. They got weaknesses, too. James and John, man, their mama comes up. Oh, Jesus, give my son the most important position. Let one of them sit on your right hand and one on your left. And he goes, Mama, I know you got good intentions, but you don't even have a clue what you're asking for. And that's not up to me. And, you know, they had arguments about who's going to be the greatest, and they got in squabbles. And I like the way The Chosen actually portrays the apostles. I think they do a very accurate job on that. I recommend you watch it all. 16 episodes have been released so far, and season 3's about to come out. So, man, you can binge some Jesus for sure. But here in our text in Luke 9, Jesus sends them out, and they go out, and they start doing what he said, man. It says in the Passion, they instantly healed diseases wherever they went. They just did that, all of them, all 12 of them. Wow. Verse 7. Luke 9, verse 7. Now Herod the governor was confused and perplexed when he heard the reports of all the miracles, listen, that Jesus and his apostles had done. Who? Jesus and the apostles. My NIV book doesn't say it that way. It says of all that was going on. He was perplexed when he heard about all the things that were happening. Well, what were the things that were happening? Not only is Jesus doing miracles, he had been doing miracles, he sends out 12. He doesn't even go with them. They go two by two in different directions, and they're doing the same works he's doing. And now Herod is like, I don't get it. I'm hearing these reports that these followers of this Jesus. And so many people were saying, oh, John the Baptizer's come back to life. That's a pretty stupid thing for Jewish people to say. That sounds more like reincarnation. You know, I guess they thought God had put John's head back on, you know, got it off the platter, put it back on his shoulders, and brought him back. I don't know what they're thinking. It's just crazy what people will come up with. Others said, no, it's Elijah who has reappeared, or one of the prophets of old who has risen from the dead. And these were the rumors that were circulating throughout the land. And Herod exclaimed, who is this man? I keep hearing about him over and over. It can't be the prophet John. I had him beheaded. And Herod was very eager to meet Jesus. So what's going on? He's hearing about the miraculous works of the apostles and Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, man. For Jesus to do miracles, that's pretty impressive. But for Jesus to, with a word, say to 12 men, frail as they are, with all their weaknesses and flaws, I impart to you my power. Go do what I've been doing. And they go out and actually do it. Now you're talking about someone with real authority, because he not only has authority, he has the authority to delegate authority. That's like next level. There you go. Okay, verse 10. In my NIV Bible, in verse 10, says the disciples, and later the disciples returned. When the disciples returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Who did it? They did. Jesus wasn't with them. And he took them, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. And the crowds learned about it and followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Jesus, again, healing. Anybody that thinks healing is not part of the gospel obviously never read the Bible. I mean, I don't know how you don't think healing is part of the gospel. Even David in the Old Testament knew that by God's covenant, that healing and forgiveness were inseparably linked. You want me to prove it to you? Psalms 103, verse 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, forgetting all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And, not or, and. It's a two-sided coin. Forgiveness and healing are the same coin, but it's two different sides. Same blood, same cross, same Jesus, same stripes, paid for your healing, paid for your forgiveness. Most of us don't, well, I say that, most Christians don't theologically struggle to believe in forgiveness. Sometimes we may struggle to appropriate it because we just know we don't deserve it. And that's right, we don't deserve it. But we don't receive it because we deserve it. We receive it because he wants us to have it. And if we believe that, we just take it. Okay, Lord, I know I don't deserve to be forgiven, but you want me forgiven. So I receive it. Thank you. Lord, I don't deserve to be healed, but you want me to be healed. You took stripes on your back, so thank you. You say, oh, it can't be that easy. Whatever. It's as hard as you make it. How many years did it take you to accept his forgiveness? You could have accepted it in one day. I'm just saying. It's the same. And if we will become convinced of that, if I could convince myself of what I'm going to preach to you today, I told Sharon before I left the house, I'm not preaching something that I'm fully living out today. I'm not going to preach. I'm preaching myself up. I'm pulling myself up. I'm feeding my faith to try to become fully persuaded about what I'm going to share with you so that I can walk in it. Because it's there, and I believe it, and I agree with it, but agreeing with it only doesn't make it so. You have to have actual spirit belief in your heart. You got to know it on the inside. And then you got to line your attitude and your words up with it to appropriate it. We'll get into that a little more here in a little bit. So the disciples were given delegated authority. Jesus gave them power to cast out devils and heal the sick, and they went out and did it. And it was reported all over the region. Even Herod heard about it. And then they come back to Jesus and they make a report. I'm going to read it from the Passion now. Here you go. Months later, that's how verse 10 starts in the Passion Translation. Months later, the apostles returned from their ministry and tour and told Jesus all the wonders and all the miracles that they had witnessed. And Jesus, wanting to be alone with the 12, quietly slipped away from them toward Bethsaida. But the crowd soon found out about it and took off after him. And when they caught up with Jesus, he graciously welcomed them all and taught them about the kingdom realm. He what? Taught them. Do you know that you have to learn about the kingdom of God? It's not imparted to you when you get saved. That's why there's a bunch of ignorant Christians. Because they just got saved, and that's wonderful. Praise God, you're saved. You're not lost no more. That's wonderful. But there are a lot of Christians not operating in the kingdom realm of God because they're ignorant of it. They're not stupid. They could learn, but they just haven't. Sometimes, you know, well, pastor, teach me. Pastor only sees you a few hours a week if he's blessed. Sometimes a few hours a year for some people. Mother's Day and Easter. Some people made their annual Christmas. They made their annual church appearance last Sunday. Their annual or semi-annual. Anyway. So Jesus healed them. Verse 12, as the day wore on, the 12 came to Jesus. In other words, Jesus healed people all day long. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, it's getting late. You should send the crowds away to the surrounding village farms to get something to eat and find shelter for the night. There's nothing to eat here in the middle of this nowhere. It must have been Western Oklahoma or something. No matter. Jesus responded. I'm going to go back to the NIV for a second. Verse 13. You give them something to eat. That was his answer. They came to Jesus. I don't know why they were all that concerned about the people. Maybe they really were concerned about the people. Maybe they just wanted a break. Maybe they were concerned about Jesus because he's been ministering to people all day. But for whatever reason, they say, Lord, you ought to send them away and let them go into the towns and get themselves by themselves something to eat. And Jesus turns around to them and goes, you give them something to eat. You'd give it to them. Listen to how the Passion Translation translates it. Jesus says, you have food to feed them. You have food to feed them. Feed them. They replied, all we have are 5 small loaves of bread and 2 dried up fish. Jesus just said, you feed them. You have food to feed them. And their little lightning fast minds go, we only got 5 loaves, 2 fish. How are we going? There's got to be 5,000 people here. How in the world are we going to feed them? Well, I'm going to step out of the story for just a second and ask them this. How in the world did you cast out them devils? How in the world did you heal all them sick people? You've been out for months operating in the kingdom principles of God, doing the supernatural. You know what supernatural is? It means above. Super means above or outside of. Natural. It means you didn't go to the market and get fish. You didn't go to the market and get bread. You got supernatural provision. You got supernatural healing. They've been operating in the supernatural for months, and then they come back, and Jesus starts healing the people, and what do the disciples do? They go right back into I can't do nothing mode. Jesus got to do everything. So he told them, you have food to feed them. I'm going to talk more about that food here in a minute. They replied, all we have, 5 small loaves of bread and 2 dried up fish. Do you really expect us to go buy food for these people? Did he say anything about buying food? No, he didn't say nothing about buying food. He said, you have food to feed them. And they thought, no, we don't. I say to you today, you have the power to heal others. You have the power to be healed. You have the power to cast out devils. You have the power to change your life. I do? No, I don't. I don't. Yes, you do. If you're under the authority of Jesus. If you're not, the power's available. You just got to line up with it. You got to get under the authority of Jesus. You said, well, I didn't know I had that power. I know. I'm aware you didn't know you had that power. There's things that I'm unaware of that I have the power to do. There are things in my life personally that I want to change. There are things that I want to change in the world around me that I want to change. And I have the ability to do it through the kingdom of God, but I'm not yet walking in it. You say, why are you preaching it then? Preachers ought to preach what they could live. Really? You want to? That means you would never, ever have an experience greater than the experience I already know. I thought we're called to be like Jesus, not to be like each other.
Come on. Let me pick my feet up. Let me get
you're
my
not,
feet up.
You're not called to be like me. You're not called to be like any other Christian person on the earth. You're called to be like Jesus. That's our calling. That's our call, all of us. We're all called. Jesus is our model. Jesus is our example. Don't put your eyes on your pastor. Don't put your eyes on some leader. Don't put your eyes on some person. Put your eyes on Jesus. And put your eyes on Jesus' word. And if it says you can do it, you can do it. If it says you have it, you have it. If it says what you are, then that's what you are. Amen. I'm about to get to preaching now. And here we go. We'll take a break in a minute. In a minute. And we're going to use our faith. When we take that break and we pray, we're going to use our faith. We're going to believe God for some things. We're not just going to pray to take up fluff. I guarantee you I could take up 5 hours if you gave it to me today, and then I'd take a break and come back for some more. The disciples were baffled. You need to send these people away. Get some food. They're going to famish. Jesus says, you feed them. You have bread. You have food to give them. He didn't say you have bread. He said, you have food to give them. They're like, we only have a few loaves of bread and some fish. Are you really expecting us to go to town to buy food? And he didn't say anything about that. They said, there are nearly 5,000 men here. And the women and children. They weren't even counting them. Where is their mindset? Their mind is on their lack. And on the greatness of the need. The smallness of my supply and the greatness of my need. They're focused on that. They're focused on the problem, not the promise. The situation and not the Savior. Jesus didn't ask them to take account of how many people there are. It doesn't matter to Jesus how many people there are. I guarantee you if there were 50,000 people there, he could have still fed every one of them. That's not the issue. The issue is not how big is the need. And the issue is not how small is what you have. The issue is the kingdom. Kingdom. King's dominion. The king's way of doing things. The laws of the king. How does God operate? Well, he don't operate by going to the store to buy stuff. By faith, we know God spoke the world into existence. How? How did he do it? By faith. That doesn't just mean we believe it by faith. It means he did it by faith. God uses faith. Absolutely, God uses faith. When God looked at the darkness, he didn't say, boy, it sure is dark. If he did, it'd still be dark. He looked at the darkness, and he said, light be. And up out of his being, the force of faith, out of God's being, emanated light out of the invisible spirit realm into the natural seen realm. And God himself, because he is light, God himself exploded, big bang, onto the scene of the physical realm. I'm going to chew for a second. You got to chew on that. So where's my stuff? I need some stuff. I need some stuff to feed these people. Where's my stuff? It's right here in the spiritual realm. You got to know how to get it from there to here. Because you can't, I can't use my money while it's still in the bank. I've either got to get it into my hand, or I've got to have some way to transfer it electronically or with a paper check or whatever, but I've got to be able to access it. If I had $1 million in an account, but I don't have no checks, I don't have no card, I don't have any way to get it, what good does it do me? And the answer is none. And there are a lot of times that we have things that God has imparted to us that are much more valuable than $1 million. I mean, you say it was somebody dying of something, and they say, you know what, I'd give $1 million for my healing. Like, I'm sure you would. It's already yours. You don't have to give $1 million. Jesus already gave what it costs. But you've got to know the kingdom principles of how to appropriate it, how to make a withdrawal to get it to you. And so that's why we're talking about spiritual withdrawals today. So we're about to make some spiritual withdrawals in the realm of faith. We're going to pray some prayer requests, take a mid-break. If you said, man, I wish old so-and-so was hearing this today, we'll get a hold of old so-and-so while we take this mid-break and ask him to join us here on Facebook Live. And get us your prayer request, because we'd love to pray for you.